Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Apparently ISIS is back in the news. I mean, I haven't heard ISIS in the news for years.
You know, it's weird. They're calling them IS now for some reason. I've seen that over and over again. Why were they? What's
Islamic
with the name
State?
Change?
Because it was
Islamic
like,
State. Yeah, that must be it.
I forget what the other IS was supposed to stand for.
I can't remember now. Islamic State.
But these guys were like the big bads in the Middle East for a long time after the Taliban, right? So like the story, if I recall correctly, was the Bush the second went into Afghanistan and Iraq and destroyed the status quo there, took the Taliban out of power, and the Taliban were holding down some of the worst characters. And so getting rid of the Taliban from power allowed the worst characters to rise to the top.
Yeah, they just screwed the jar off the top and let all the scumbags out, basically.
Yeah, and so, and they formed ISIS. The worst baddies formed ISIS. And then ISIS became the big boogeyman over there. And I remember there was some number of years where on Free Talk Live, we were actually playing the videos of the beheadings and such, and talking about them. I wanted to see what they didn't want us to see, so I could judge for myself. I wasn't just going to rely on the mainstream media deciding, oh, this is a real thing. Here's what we saw. I didn't want to just rely on somebody else's opinion, in the same way that I don't want to rely on the mainstream media covering COVID, or I don't want to rely on the mainstream media covering the trucker convoy in Canada right now. I wanted to rely on myself. And since no one was actually linking to these videos, I wanted to play it and listen to what they were saying.
Did you play them on the air?
Yeah. We played the actual videos on the air. Some of them had English, right? So they had, there was this guy that they had, what was his name? John somebody. They had captured this photojournalist at one point, and he's never turned up dead since then, at least not the last time I looked him up. For a while I could remember what his name was, and I'm sure I'll look for it and I'll pull it up again. But they captured this photojournalist and they turned him into their spokesman. And it was really interesting because they would initially they had him behind a desk and in an orange jumpsuit, and he would just kind of give the propaganda from their side of things.
I kind of remember that.
Yeah. John Cantley was the man's name. And just a quick update, the latest, nothing has changed, apparently. We mentioned him a few years ago on the show, again, when the discussion, for whatever reason, came up. And always think about John Cantley because he was just such a familiar face when it comes to what was happening there almost a decade ago. It's now been, I think it was 2012. When he was taken captive over there.
And what is the most recent story you've been able to find about him?
2019, there was an article in GQ magazine, which is a very detailed article about his kind of history in doing journalism over there and getting captured ultimately. And as the person who wrote that story did an update, actually just published yesterday, according to that guy, he says, all the evidence, as my GQ piece argued in 2019, suggests that Cantley died during the assault on the Islamic State in Mosul in northern Iraq in late 2016 or early 2017, possibly as a result of a coalition airstrike.
By who? Like
the coalition.
Who's that?
The U.S., the British.
The good guys.
The Canadians. But the British government has argued as recently as 2019 that he may be alive. So there's no proof. They don't have a body. Bonnie, I wouldn't blame someone for wanting to avoid all government-related things entirely. That's what the average person does, and they stick with their own life, and they focus on their life, and they take care of their kids, and they go to work, and they get the bills paid, and they watch their favorite television shows when they get home, and
I'm
a beer.
I'm not the average person. The average person does that and then goes, all right, the federal government's bombing the bad guys. I got it. And without paying attention, I just would rather not support any of them.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying it's not support to get the other side's opinion.
Yeah, and I don't think it's enough to be anti-war. I think you have to go further and try to understand the conflict. Like, what is that guy's problem? And I'm not saying that to be offensive. I'm saying that because I want to understand that guy's problem. Right. Like, what is he on about? What's his big deal?
I wish it was easier to talk to just, like, the people of the whole country. Like, I want to know what the Russians on the ground are thinking, but how would I do that?
You mean over in the Ukraine?
Or the Ukrainian
situation?
Right now.
Well, you saw there was, like, a Ukrainian YouTube channel that you found.
Yeah, where I've been watching, like, real-life Ukrainians, but they don't talk about that
stuff. They don't talk about the issues. So, but it is important, in my opinion, if you're going to be on the radio and you're going to be talking about these issues, to seek out the other side of it and to, at the very least, see what they have to say. Apparently, there was some sort of a strike that Biden was overseeing on the whatever the current ISIS supposed leader is. Of course, you know, they take one down and another one pops right up right in his place.
Probably planned.
Yeah. But what is going on? What do we need to know?
Well, it was in Syria, and it was some, you know, some, I can't even say the names, but it's some hoop jack that's in charge of ISIS or whatever, who knows who he is. And
is he dead?
He's dead.
Okay.
Apparently, the house is in a shambles. It's a big cube-shaped, you know.
Because they always make a point of killing these guys rather than capturing them so they can actually speak out.
Right. But apparently the special forces, they sent in special forces instead of an airstrike because that was going to prevent major damage in case there were women and children around. So instead, they sent in special forces. And
since when do they care about that?
Right. Well, I think like a dozen women and children were killed anyway.
Oh.
But,
yeah.
Well, I'm sure they all look the same to the special forces.
Yeah, well, if and you know, we're supposed to feel sorry because there was the sight of a special forces helicopter having mechanical troubles on the ground, and as the house exploded from the inside. So what they're saying is the guy they were pursuing
blew
did
himself
a suicide
up.
Thing and blew up the place.
Are they trying to pump up ISIS as? Ooh, they're taking over Syria, or like, you know, normally we're told to worry because ISIS is spreading, and then the U.S. military needs to go in and needs to stop the spread.
Yeah, I really can't tell. It's like, I'm not sure what...
2 weeks to stop ISIS spreading.
We'll just social distance ISIS. And which is true, that'll work. If you just stay away from them, they'll go away.
Well, certainly they wouldn't be a problem for the United States if they would just pull the United States troops out and bring them home.
They'd probably be a lot less of a problem. They wouldn't have grown so much in the last 20 years if we just stayed out of it to begin with. I'm sure
Absolutely.
We've given them plenty of weapons.
Well, that's definitely true. I mean, because remember, the Taliban picked up like billions of dollars worth of weapons when the U.S. left Afghanistan.
Them.
And you better believe some of that's going to make its way to ISIS.
Yeah, there's guys, you know... Taliban fighters standing around in the latest, you know, multi-cam
Top gear.
Yeah, all cry precision and, you know.
They got helicopters, man. They got helicopters out of that deal.
Yeah, the good stuff.
That's why I was saying that earlier about you watching the video and me saying that I wouldn't want to watch any propaganda from any government. I just think that they're all working together.
Matt, last week you had an interesting story about these lightning links, and I want you to... Redescribe for our listeners who might not have been listening at that time, what is a lightning link?
Okay, so what we were talking about last week was actually forced reset triggers. Forced reset triggers, the ATF, a forced reset trigger is a trigger you can get for an AR-15 that basically forces your finger forward. So unlike a fully automatic weapon, which is a heavily controlled object by the federal government, a fully automatic weapon, you pull the trigger and hold it and it keeps shooting. With a forced reset trigger, it's not doing that. You pull the trigger, and the trigger forces your trigger finger forward, and then you're pulling on it still, so it acts a little bit differently. It's what would be called, we refer to that as a bump fire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can do the same thing by, you know, hooking your thumb through your belt loop with the in front of the trigger and just let the recoil bump the trigger on and off, on and off, on
It's
and
not
off.
Very accurate to fire
no,
that way.
Horrible.
Wait, I'm confused. Your belt loop, so you would have your finger through your belt loop
gun? You hold your gun at your side, you take your thumb and you stick it through the trigger guard and hook your belt loop on the other side, and then you pull the gun forward. They actually declared the lightning link itself a machine gun.
It's insane.
So, you know, imagine someone declaring a paperclip a machine gun or a bent-up coat hanger a machine gun.
know, it's just crazy. It can make a gun semi-automatic, like you said, but it's not a machine gun. It's not a gun. How
right.
can they it's say not, that?
It takes a semi-automatic and makes it fire like an automatic.
And do a fully automatic. Yeah, right. The other way around. But yeah, you're right. It's ridiculous. It's not a gun. In New York State, they consider any magazine over 10 rounds to be a gun, an assault weapon.
That's just misusing the English language.
It's not English once it's in the
legalese.
Laws, and it's legalese,
yes,
and they
legalese.
Can define things however they want.
Right.
But so that's a recap of what we talked about last week.
That's what we talked about last week. And to answer your question, yes, there was a major confiscation. They invaded Big Daddy Unlimited and told them to hand over all their FRTs, and they did. More has happened.
There's Lightning Link news.
There's Lightning Link news, specifically Lightning Link news, or not really actually in a way, because the fans of CRS Firearms on YouTube, if you're into guns, you've never been to CRS Firearms, it's basically a young weapons guy. He's a dealer. He's got an FFL03 or FFL01, and he'll do your transfer and sell you guns and whatever you want. Just he's got a little shoppy side hustle, I think. And he's a great guy. He'll stand in front of his camera on YouTube and gripe about the law and the ATF.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
This guy printed these cards with drawings on them.
Yes.
That if someone were to take, you said a Dremel or something like that, and essentially, cut this card along the drawing, then they would have one of these what's called lightning links that could then be used to drop into a semi-automatic rifle and turn it into the equivalent of
a fully automatic rifle. Yeah. And I was wrong on the prices, by the way, the values. I just went on GunBroker and searched the latest registered, the legal ones that were registered before they banned them
decades
back
ago,
in 1985 or whatever. And apparently there's one registered drop in auto sear on there, RDIAS, which was $38,000.
$38,000. For a piece of metal.
It is a little hunk of metal. Think of like three or four quarters stacked on top of each other. That's about how big it is.
That comes with paperwork showing that it's quote unquote legal through the ATF.
Yeah, you gotta jump through a lot of hoops and have a lot of money in order to have that. And if you could just throw the $40,000 away tomorrow, you might be able to go pick it up at your local machine gun dealer a year from now or more.
So insane.
Mm-hmm.
So if they are technically still legal, why did he get arrested for selling these drawings of them?
Because any of those that have been made after 1986 are illegal.
The indictment identifies Hoover as operating Coloma Resale, a store which is a federally licensed firearms dealer. But in court, attorneys said much of Hoover's income comes from his YouTube postings. The decisions to charge Hoover inflamed gun rights supporters, who by Monday had contributed about $110,000 through 2,700 donations to a GoFundMe page to cover his legal costs.
I helped.
Excellent. Quote, "This really is a travesty of justice, and it shows that tyranny is alive and well in the country." As though you needed more examples
of
that.
Yeah, just the ATF existing is proof of that. They're unelected people who are literally going after people who are drawing pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Supporters cast Thursday's fundraising effort as a step toward protecting gun rights guaranteed under the U.S. Constitution's Second Amendment. One viewer wrote, "I've donated, and I don't really care for Matt. Something needs to be done about this out-of-control government agency. This goes beyond personal feelings, and every Second Amendment supporter should also donate."
What is he, like his neighbor who he wants to cut like branches off his tree or something?
Who knows?
Fortunately for him, at least, he was released on condition. So he is out on bail already, unlike Nobody, who is our co-host, who had to spend 6 months in jail for Bitcoin-related allegations. There's a little bit of good news. We may be having Nobody back on the air soon. There was a bit of a development.
Awesome. You know he misses it.
Yeah, I miss him too. So we're talking about freedom of speech in a case that was just, I guess, updated as they arrested another individual to be added to this case in regards to what was called, what the hell was the website again?
AutoKeyCard.
AutoKeyCard and AutoKeyCards. So the plural and singular version were both owned by a gentleman named Irvin, Christopher Justin Boyer Irvin from Florida. And so he was charged last year. They've now updated that indictment and it added a Matthew Raymond Hoover from Wisconsin, who is a YouTuber with over 100,000 viewers on his channel. Not too shabby at all. And that apparently they had some sort of an arrangement wherein Hoover was promoting the AutoKeyCard website and the AutoKeyCard product on his YouTube channel. And according to the ATF, that means that he was part of a conspiracy.
Uh-huh.
It's really their conspiracies. It's always the government that has a conspiracy that people are out to get them, and then they charge the people with conspiracy.
Few things are as dangerous as paranoid bureaucrats.
Hmm.
Yeah, you make a good point there, Bonnie, that this is absolutely paranoid government people who are worried about their precious power. They actually use the term here, as you said earlier, Matt, they consider these things, these tiny little pieces of steel, to be machine guns. The items held 1 to 3 etchings, each the same pattern. So they sold different size versions of this. Court filing said an ATF agent used a Dremel cutting tool to follow the pattern and cut from the metal an item that he inserted into a semi-automatic rifle to enable him to fire the weapon fully automatic with just a pull of the trigger. Sold without any government licenses, the items created the potential of owning a fully automatic firearm without the regulation and expense.
I'm sorry. If I trained my finger to be really strong and flexible, would it be considered a machine gun?
No.
If I could just do it faster than anyone else?
No, you would not. That's been asked. But did you just say, Ian, that an ATF agent did, in fact, cut one of these things out?
He did.
It worked? Okay, so he committed a felony.
No, not when he's working for the government. Oh. Then they're exempt. They're exempt.
Oh, so he doesn't belong in jail for 10 years?
No. Haven't you ever read the statutes? They always exempt government agents from these things.
Oh.
Yeah. They're
maybe
special.
We should all become government agents.
No. That sounds really distasteful.
I mean, we just don't have to go to work every day or ever.
There's 6 counts in here that they aided and abetted the transfer of firearms. That is, quote unquote, machine gun conversion devices constituting machine guns.
Wow.
And then they mention specifically via U.S. mail to a person with the initials J.A. And so then there's another one with the initials R.D. So they looked through, you know, they were watching them or watching the mail, or maybe they found their sales records. And I would hope this guy didn't keep all his sales records because, you know, they're coming after all the customers.
Probably.
Next. But if they didn't keep the sales records, then probably most of the customers are safe. But in this case, they were at least able to identify 6 of them.
Hmm.
And each one of those sales is a count in this particular document. So that's what we're talking about right now.
So how much time is he facing?
I'm guessing these are all felonies.
Each one is, they're trying to consider each one an illegal machine gun. So who knows how many they sold, because each one of those cards has several, you know, 1, 2, or 3 different, cutoutable pieces on it. So I don't know, selling an illegal machine gun, I don't know what the penalty is for selling an illegal machine gun. I imagine it's real stiff, though. Congressman from Texas, Michael Cloud, he got the ATF in front of him, and he asked them what the deal was with their records keeping, because the ATF is not allowed to keep a registry of firearms, right? Other than the fully automatics, which is arguably also illegal.
Hold on. Let me see if I'm following you here. You're saying that when somebody goes and buys a gun,
correct,
and the form that they fill out that's sent to the ATF for them to look
to the ATF.
Who's that sent to?
It's kept with the gun dealer for 20 years.
Okay, so who's being looked at? They look up the person, right? So like when you fill out that form,
correct,
that's being checked by some government agency.
You're getting background checked, but no record of that is allowed to be kept. So that.
But let me just clarify. So when you say you're getting background checked, is that being checked with the ATF?
Yes.
So that data is being transmitted to them.
All it is your name, and basically they're trying to find out if you've got a record or not. If you don't have a record, if you don't have a felony, then...
So hold on. Let me, because I've never gone through this process before. Okay. I've never purchased a gun through brand new channels.
Okay.
I've always bought them from, you know, friends privately, which is, as I understand it, completely legal here in New Hampshire, as long as the person knows you.
I just want to bring up that about the dirty water that a lot of people drink around the world and they get ill.
Mm-hmm.
So they, and of course, the Joyce Meyer ministry, if you want to, her ministry helps dig up wells. So what's really interesting is that they walk like several miles every day getting water, and then they get sick from it. But the thing is, if they dig down under exactly where they live, they would hit an aquifer enough to get a well. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty pathetic. And I just wonder how much those water wells would cost to dig one for a village.
That's a good question. Like, yeah,
Give Directly does the same thing. They give people money, and they've used it to build wells, right?
It wouldn't surprise me, but I'm not sure, Bonnie. I don't know what all the stories are. I mean, they've given people over $400 million, mostly, from what I understand, in very poor parts of Africa. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's much more than a few grand.
And I bet it'd be cheaper in a poor country.
It probably is. Yeah, it's a good point. But, yeah, you're talking about something that can make a huge difference in people's lives, and it's a relatively small investment. But if they don't got it, they don't got it. And that means somebody's got to give it to them.
As soon as somebody turns their company into a corporation, they're using the government, and that's against, I think, all three of us here as principals.
Yeah, Walmart exists because of real sweetheart tariff deals that were made with the governments, and, you know, making China an appendage of the United States at this point, you know.
And then they make people force them to get communist programs like food stamps, welfare, and Medicaid, so they don't make enough to get by.
Right.
So the families have to go get subsidized by Section 8 housing. They can't pay the rent.
It's a horrible vicious circle. And it all happens because the government put some programs in place to make things really easy for certain businesses to do business.
But for some reason, Sarah believes that if every single aspect of the economy was under complete control of the government, that everything would be a utopia, and it's really strange to me.
That's backwards. They've destroyed everything economically good in the history of economics, and that's not just the United States government. That's every government in history.
Right, because a free economy is based on free choice, the ability for the individual to decide for themselves, and the state or the government, whatever you want to call them, takes away choice.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I don't believe that. That's what the emphasis, that's the propaganda. They want you to, they say communism is bad, and they'll say that's the reason, but that the real reason is there's no multi-billionaire corporations.
The ATF may be holding on to data,
right,
from people that they're not supposed to be.
Correct. So they're not supposed to have a registry of firearms in the United States. There's no such thing in the United States. They're absolutely not allowed to do that. But
hold on. Is it that they can't do it at a federal level, or are states prohibited from doing that as well?
The firearms thing is really a federal thing. Like, okay. Most of the states abide by, at the very least, the Fed, like the even New Hampshire abides by the federal rules on guns, and that's it.
I just think, you know, a state like New York State would probably have like a gun registry.
Whether they can start a registry, or I don't think they would be allowed to start a registry. I'm not sure if that would be a state's rights kind of thing. But interestingly, a congressman wanted to ask a few questions of the ATF because of something he saw. He saw that in fiscal year 2021, 54 million records were sent to the ATF. 54 million gun purchase records were sent to the ATF. Now, the ATF is typically, when you buy a gun, like we said before, the Form 4473 goes in a filing cabinet at your
gun shop,
your local gun shop, and the gun dealer has to hang on to them for 20 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then they can be disposed of or whatever.
Hmm.
That said, the Biden administration, as an aside, is trying to make that permanent. They're trying to make that indefinite holding.
So you're saying, though, this is illegal, quote unquote, for the ATF to have this database?
They're saying it's not a registry. We have records of all the guns that we're not supposed to have records of.
And in a database.
In a database, and it's searchable, but it's not a registry.
It's not a registry because we said so.
Yeah, the ATF wants to call it anything but a registry because it's illegal for them. So,
but it's not really, I mean, when you say it's illegal for them, it's not going to actually punish them, right? Like,
no.
If somebody in Congress says, shame on you, ATF, how dare you make this registry? And they say, well, it's not a registry. And the congressman says, well, I think it's a registry and you have broken the law. Well, they're not going to get prosecuted
Correct.
For it. There's
and
not going to be
nobody's in trouble.
The Justice Department isn't going to bring itself up on charges. No,
nobody's
here.
Getting sued. Nobody has to send a check to anybody else. This is just abrogation of rights, business as usual.
There's two sets of rules here. There's the set of rules that you and I have to follow, and they'll put you in prison
Absolutely.
If you even come close to violating one of their rules. If their interpretation is that you violated their statutes, and they'll throw you in the they'll throw the book at you like they did with Ross Ulbricht, mm-hmm. putting him in prison for two life sentences plus 40 years for the crime of creating a website. But if they break their own rules, well, then the worst case is somebody gets a stern talking to.
We failed. Danish newspaper apologizes for its coverage of COVID-19. Ekstra Bladet, one of Denmark's largest newspapers, gleaned one of the most important lessons in journalism during the pandemic. A Danish newspaper has apologized to its reader for not questioning the government's data and narratives more throughout the first 2 years of the pandemic. That sounds bad that they called it the first two, and we're still in the second.
Yeah, it ain't over.
The Ekstra, in its E-K-S-T-R-A, Bladet, founded in 1904, said it should have done more due diligence in examining the government's data and conclusions before reporting them. Quote, for almost 2 years, we, the press, and the population, so they're sharing blame this time, have been almost hypnotically preoccupied with the authorities' daily coronatal. Do you know what that is, coronatal?
Nope.
Anyways, wrote Bladet journalist Brian Weikart. The constant mental alertness has worn out tremendously on all of us. That is why we, the press, must also take stock of our own efforts, and we have failed.
Wow.
Nearby Sweden, the Associated Press is reporting that now Sweden has joined other European nations in saying they will be removing coronavirus restrictions. Prime Minister Magdalena Andersson announced, quote, it's time to open Sweden again, she said.
Is this only second to England doing it? Or are there more?
Apparently Denmark, actually. Among the measures and recommendations that will be lifted, Sweden will allow people to return to restaurants with no limitation on how many people will be there or how much space there should be for opening hours. So none of that 50%, 25%, 100%. Open again. Requirements for vaccine certificates and wearing face masks on public transportation will be removed, as well as a recommendation to limit social contact. So they are literally getting rid of all, it sounds like, of these restrictions starting on February 9th. So that's just under 1 week from today. On Tuesday, the neighboring Denmark took the lead among European Union members by scrapping most of their restrictions. Hours later, Norway lifted its ban on serving alcohol after 11 p.m. and the cap on private gatherings of no more than 10 people.
Whoa, I didn't know that they were that locked down still.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.